Okay, today is Daf Kuf Gimel. Kuf Gimel, 103. We are on Kuf Beis, on the Beis though. Third line from the bottom. I have photocopied some pictures of the Yevamashu, which we'll pass around, you know, later, and then we'll hopefully have somebody somehow get this onto the website so people can look at it. Like I said, it's really a belly slipper. It's like a hard belly, the hard belly slipper. See? So we'll send that around, but for Shkodesh today, we got to move. Okay. Tanya Kavase de Rava. We have a brisa that supports Rava. As we said yesterday, there's a distinction between leather and non-leather. Why? Chalitza b'minal hanifram. If somebody did chalitza with a torn shoe, shechope is rov haregel, but it still covered most of the regel. Or sandal hanifchas shekibol is rov haregel. Or again, some kind of broken shoe and still managed to cover the whole foot. Or besandal shal sham v'shal siv. These are different kinds of materials that are very hard. Whatever they are. Bekav hakitea, or let's say you did a chalitza with a stump. The person didn't have a foot, and you used a stump. And then the lady, the Yavama, removed the stump. Or b'mok, some kind of hard felt. Or b'smichas haraglayim. Or this is also again somebody who doesn't have any feet would wear like rags or cloth underneath where the foot ended, where the leg ended, so that it shouldn't get infected, it shouldn't get dirty. Right? So it's like protection. So she removed those. Or ban pilya shell or socks made out of leather. That's why there's all these cases are here. Or vichatzalta min hagadol. Or chalitza from a gedola. Bein omed, whether standing. Bein yoshev, whether sitting. Bein mutu, whether reclining. Vichacholetza es min hatsuma. Or it's done by a blind person. Meaning the man is blind. The man is blind. Chalitzaso ksheira. It's all kosher. We'll talk about this in a minute. Aval, but, b'minol hanifram she'en chupes rover regel. If it's ripped and it doesn't cover the whole regel. Or, sandal hanifchat she'en amakabos rover regel. Again, it's broken and it doesn't cover the whole regel. Or, smichas hayadayim. Smichas hayadayim are rags that, like gloves. Basically gloves. So that's not the feet. So removing gloves, somehow the protection for the hands, that's not going to be good. Or ban pilya shel beged, socks made out of material, not leather. Or v'cholotas men a katan, or a katan, chalitasa psula, it's no good. So what do you see? There's a distinction between leather and non-leather, even in socks. Okay, that's... So, Tosfos here points out that the chalitza has to be done... Right, that even though it's said over here, whether standing or sitting or reclining, me'ikar hadin, everybody's supposed to be standing. Why? So Tosfos says two reasons. The chalitza is a gemar din. It's a gemar din. It's a gemar freeing her to marry whoever she wants. The halacha is whenever there was a gemar din, everybody stood. Everybody stood by gemar din. The ma'akev, it's not ma'akev. Also, it says in the pasuk, the amad v'amar. Right, the man gets up and says, "I don't want to marry her." So again, va'amad. So then, how come if they're sitting, it's good? So Tosfos they explain it doesn't say va'yamod. It's not a tzivui to stand. You must be standing. No, it just says like it's telling a story. Happens to be va'amad is standing up. So based on those two reasons, standing is the preferred method. That's how we're going to get to it a little later about standing. I believe that's how they do it. Everyone's standing. Either because it's a gemar din, or because that's how the pasuk says it. That's how the pasuk says it. Next, also, even though many of these imply only b'di'eved, many of these kosher cases, like if the shoe's ripped and it's still covering most of the foot, we'll say b'di'eved it's okay. Even though that's true, by a sumo, that's l'chachila, by the way. The Ritva points that out. If someone's a suma, it's not a b'di'eved, he can do chalitza, it's a l'chachila. Why is it here? So b'derech agav, it's thrown in. Why would I think Like, why does he even have to mention that Suma here is a... Like, isn't that Pashat? Doesn't mention everybody else in Klal Yisrael. The answer is because you would think that the issue of seeing the roke, of seeing the spit, will apply to him as well. Kamashmol, it only applies to Bezdin. Only Bezdin has to make sure that she actually, like we said, Bezdin's watching that spit go from her to him. Does the husband have to watch? Does the man have to watch that? No, he doesn't. I would think maybe he does. So maybe somehow it would be a patur. There's no patur. Next. Hakita kavakiteya mani. Who's the Tana who holds that a stump, that's what it is. It's basically somebody unfortunately doesn't have a foot, and they put this stump over there instead, and now his brother died, so she's doing chalitza with this guy. He doesn't have a foot. She's got a stump over there. She's going to remove the stump. That's a good chalitza. She's doing the best she can. Mani, who said that? That is Reb Meir. That's Reb Meir. Ditnan, because we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Hakiteya, if a guy has a stump, Yotze Bekav Shelo, he can go out like that on Shabbos. He can walk out with that. It's not considered carrying. Why? It's part of him. It becomes part of him. It's not considered carrying. It's part of his body. Divir Reb Meir. That's Reb Meir Shita. Reb Yossi, Oser. Reb Yossi says Oser. Oser. Now, what about the second statement, the seifa of this above, right? We're just quoting from this above brisa. Right, we brought in this brisa to tell me that there's a difference between leather socks and non-leather socks. That's what this is doing here. Now that we brought it in, who's the author of this brisa? It must be Reb Meir, because Reb Meir is the one who held that you're allowed to go out like that on Shabbos. Reb Yossi did hold you couldn't. What about the seifa? The Sefer said, Ba'an Pilya Shel Beged. Right? That's what the Sefer said. Right? Ba'an Pilya Shel Beged. What's Ba'an Pilya Shel Beged? Socks. Right? So what's the Kasha? One second. So according to Reb Meir, if you're allowed to use a stump, so why should socks be usher? He obviously doesn't hold, that's what Mefarshim explained, he obviously doesn't hold from yesterday's limud that it has to only be leather. He doesn't hold from that. Because he permits a stump. It's not leather. So how come he ushers the socks? So the Gemara answers, Asan l'Rabbanan. Now that's the Rabbanan. That's the Rabbanan. So the Brisa be two people. So the Reisha about the stump is Reb Meir, and the Sefer about the socks is not Reb Meir. The Rabbanan here means Reb Yossi. His Bar Plukta. So Amar Abaya, mit the Sefer Rabbanan, if the bottom is the Rabbanan, Reisha nami Rabbanan. The Reisha must also be the Rabbanan. So Reisha b'mechupa or. Reisha is talking about where the socks have leather. Or the stump must be a case where the stump also had leather in it. It was mechupa or, it was lined with leather. It's lined with leather, it's leather. So Rava, Amale Rava, wait a minute. Aval ein mechupa or, what if the stump would not have any leather in it? Then my would halacha be pasul. Right? Because we're saying now that the author is Rabiosi. Rabiosi requires leather. Why is the stump mutter? Because it was a leather stump. Right? And if it wasn't a leather stump, then it would be usher. Right? So the Rava says, wait a minute, so why are you being so complicated? Why is this price so complicated? Ihachi, adatani seifa ba'am pilya shel beged. So now in the seifa, what do? You bring up socks from left field. I have a much better eitza. Liflog v'lizni b'diday. Let the price have just mentioned the same case. B'med devar mamurim b'mechupa or. When is all that true if it has leather in it? Aval emechupa or puzzle. Why being so wordy? If the whole nafkamina is leather or not leather, just say that. Why are the stumps? And then now we'll talk about socks. The whole distinction is leather or not leather. So Rava says a bite. That doesn't make any sense. Ela amar Rava. So Rava says no. Midrasha Reb Meir sefer nami Reb Meir. No, the whole thing is Reb Meir. Right? And why you're allowed to wear a stump? Why is a stump mutter for chalitza? because he holds it's part of the body. Right? He holds it by Hilchos Shabbos. So how come socks made out of non-leather is no good? Why? High Megan, high low Megan. Oh, because one protects and one doesn't protect. That's the key. That's why. Forget leather. It doesn't hold from leather. It doesn't have to be leather. Rebbeir has a unique shita. What's the issue? The issue is protection. Socks don't protect you. You'll never go out into the street wearing socks. It's too flimsy. That's why it's not a chalitza. Amar Meimar, new halacha. Hai man the chalit. Whenever you're going to do chalitza, tzarech lemid chisei lechare. You have to force the foot into the shoe. That means that you have to stand up, and like, you know how we do that sometimes when we're slipping in our shoes, we force our foot deeper into the shoe. It's a mechiv to do that. Why? We'll say why in a minute. Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimar, what do you mean? V'tanya, ben omed, ben yoshev, ben muta. What do you mean? You could do a chalitza when he's lying down. So what do you mean you have to stand up and make sure that, what are you talking about? So he said, you're right. Ema, ula olam, d'daches l'chare. You always have to do that. In other words, that's the first step of chalitza. Even if you want to do chalitza lying down. You have to first stand up, put that shoe on, stick it in very, very good, and then you can go lie down and she'll take it off. What's the reason for that? One second, we'll say in a minute. V'amar meimar, hai man demazgi alichtel dekare lo chalitz. Anybody who doesn't walk on their soles, meaning they have some kind of deformity, and somehow their foot is deformed in such a way that they're not really walking on the bottom of their feet. They're walking with some other part of their foot, sideways, some kind of problem, some kind of debilitating problem. They can't walk normally. There's no chalitza. Amar le Rav Ashi la Meimar, I v'atanya smochos haraglayim. But we said that the support, we said that the rags that they used to put underneath the feet, so their feet shouldn't get dirty, that's a valid chalitza. So obviously, the only reason why somebody would wear those is because they have something wrong with their feet. And if that's good, so what are you talking about, Amimar? That should be good. If you've got, the only reason people wear that is because either they have a deformity and they want to protect their feet better because it's scraping on the floor. So they'll put these rags over there to protect the feet. And we said, that's a good chalitza. So obviously, the din about being deformed is not so true. So, very difficult answer. My love, the chalitz be'ihu, aren't we talking about the same guy? Meaning a guy who walks into Beis Din, has his problem, right? And the wife, the woman now, is going to remove those rags. That's going to be a valid chalitza. Is that what it means? No, that's not what it means. He says, no, that's not what it means. The yav leila acher, no, you walk into Beis Din to be a spectator. And what do? You give those rags to another guy, and that other guy is going to be the one who's having chalitza done to him. Right? You give your rags to the... Why would the other guy do that? The other guy is going to be wearing your rags. What's going on here? That's what he answers. Meaning, the halacha is still the same. If that's... So, of course, if that wouldn't be good chalitza. That wouldn't be a good chalitza if that's your problem. Why? Because your feet are no good. You have feet problems. But if another guy who's healthy takes those rags off you and wears them, that would be good. Why? Because he's got good feet. The bottom line is that if you have feet problems like that, it's no good. And Amar Rav Ashi, Lamai Deka Amar Amemar. So based on what Amemar said, Lav Bar Uva Chalitz V'Lav Bar Kipuv Chalitz. These two people cannot do Chalitza. Who are these two people? These two people were bothering Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi gave them a, we had the board cutting. Rav Ashi gave them a klala, and they had some feet problems. They got deformed, so they couldn't do chalitza.
So who does the chalitza in the case where the guy
is deformed,
somebody else?
So I don't know. So maybe there's a patur. I don't know. What would happen lamaisa if that happened? I don't know. Maybe there'd be a patur.
You can just stuff to somebody else.
What do you mean, someone else? No, you have to do chalitza. In other words, if he's the only brother, he's the only brother. There's no other brother. He's the only brother. So what would happen lamaisa? I don't know. So then she's potter from chalitza? Because it can't happen? I don't know. The question is, what's going on here with putting the foot in the shoe? What's that about? So the Rosh said it's very simple. Nobody owns chalitza shoes. The Bezdin owns it, right? So all the Rosh is saying is just a practical thing. When you're putting on that shoe, maybe it doesn't fit you, because it's not yours. They don't have different sizes in Bezdin. It's one size, right? They fit it on. We're going to have it. It has to be big enough. It can't be too big that you can't walk with it. So maybe they do have a few sizes in Bezdin. I don't know. But it's just a practical idea. When you get up, when you put it on for the first time, you know, make sure it's nice and comfy in there. Because she has to remove it. It has to be removed by her. It can't fall off by itself. You can't help. It has to be removed by her. So just a practical idea. Make sure you stick your foot in and make sure it's nice and snug. The Rebbe Yehuda says it's even more. That's how people take off their shoes at night. They come home, they undo the laces, and then they pick their leg up and pull it off. So when you're putting it on, make sure you're putting it on in such a way that when you take it off later, it'll be the easiest way to do it, the most normal way that you do it. So just all practical things to make sure that the shoes are nice and snug, so that when she takes it off, it's really her doing the ma'isa, and not happening by itself, and you're not helping. So the Rosh says, yeah. The Rosh says, yeah. You have pictures. There's the chalitza shoe. Yeah. What? So maybe even in those days, they realized that the shoe is so detailed and so complicated. Who owns these shoes? It's hard because we're going to have another base that we're going to have a story that Rabbi Yossi said, Abaya, a woman just walked in, give me your shoe. We've got to do chalitza now. The couple just walked in. Not a couple, you know, a brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Abaya, I need your shoe, give me your shoe. So obviously it wasn't true. Today, Bezman Hazeh, Bezdin has shoes. If it comes up, nobody has their own chalitza shoe. But maybe, so I don't know, maybe the Rosh was talking about Amar's time, I don't know. Maybe I don't think it was any different than Abaya. I don't know. Okay, next. One more question before we go on. How can Rav Ashi curse these people? Isn't it a curse somebody? You have it all the time in the Gemara. How do you let it curse somebody? Rav Ashi gave them a curse, whatever they did wrong, a curse that what? And the curse came true. And that, how do you curse people? Doesn't it say the Torah you're not allowed to curse people? So the standard answer is, which needs a hesber, standard answer is, it says in the Torah, Nasi ba'amcha lo sa'ar, which we say means anybody, not just a Nasi, but it's only ba'amcha. If they do ma'isim that are not ba'amcha, it doesn't apply. That's the standard answer. Same thing with Lashon Hara. Or let's say like Rachel ba'amecha. If it's not ba'amecha, a few lavin in the Torah have that ba'amecha. If it's not ba'amecha, if the person's a total not ba'amecha, then the issue does not apply. That's a standard answer. That answer needs a hesber. When do you apply those rules? Chavetz Chaim has a lot of rules about that. And one of the things the Chavetz Chaim says is, if you would say, it has to be in such a situation where you would say the Lashon Hara to the guy's face. If you wouldn't say it to his face, you can't tell it to other people. If the guy drives a car on Shabbos, and if you wouldn't have the guts to say it to his face, you can't repeat it. You hear this? So it's not so simple, but that's the standard answer. Like Rav Ashi is Rav Ashi, and how he could just curse people and make them deformed. Okay, next. Min harakuba lamata, from the knee and down. So what do we say? The shoe has to be tied up to the knee and down. What if you tie it above the knee? Now that's not called a foot. Above the knee already is too high. So if it's tied above the knee, that's already too much. Verminu, wait a minute. Raglayim, it says by Ola Regel, it says Raglayim, Prat Labale Kabin. People that have stumps, they don't have to be Ola Regel. They're putter. It says Raglayim. So how come over here they're not putter? We said someone has that, it's chayiv. So the Gemara says, Shani Hacha, Dixiv me al Raglo, special limud. Ihachi lemaila min arkuba nami. No, so then above the knee also should be good. So the Gemara says, no. Me'al, velo me'al de me'al. No, only on the knee, not on top of that. Amar of Papa, Shmamina, very interesting here. Hai is Tvira ad Aranachis. The ankle, he says, ad Aranachis, goes up to the sky, which means, De'isal gadaitach mifsach pasik, because if you hold that it breaks, havile ihu ma'al v'shoka me'al de me'al. It must be, says Rav Papa, that the ankle is not a separate joint, even though it's a separate joint, it's not separate from the rest of the leg. Because if that were true, then the ankle would stop the shoe, and then the next part of the leg, which is the shoke, which is below the knee, right? The next part of that of the leg would be considered me'al de me'al. Why? Just like above the knee is considered me'al de me'al, so too above the ankle should be considered me'al de me'al. So obviously the ankle doesn't break the chain of the leg the way the knee does. Obviously not. Otherwise, you couldn't put on a shoe. Amar of Ashi, no, feel tail mifsak pasuk. You can. Called the bahadi kare kare dami. Whatever's close to the ground is considered on the ground. So even though, I don't know what the nafkamina would be, the ankle has a different status than the rest of the foot, it wouldn't change the halacha lagabi chalitza because it's very close to the ground, it's very close to the foot. Next. Min harakubu lamala. The question now is, we are going to quote a bunch of places where we know that the word regel means above the knee. The word regel is going to mean above the knee, right? We just said that regel above the knee is too high, it's not a foot. We're going to have five places in Tanakh where the word regel means above the knee. Where's the first one? The first one is Masar Rav Kahana Ubishlisa Hayotzeis Mi Bein Ragleha. When the baby comes out, Mi Bein Ragleha. Bein Ragleha, that's above the knee. Right? It's called Bein Ragleha. How could that be? So then why can't you have a chalitza shoe above the knee? Right? Baby comes out, it's called Ragleha, it's called legs. Right, so the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, no, because Bishasha Karaz Lele, when a woman is having a baby, no etzes akevya biyar kaseha, they put her heel up to her thigh, right? And she holds on. Violetis, that's how she has the baby. So really, it is Ragleha. Next, Tashma, it says that when David HaMelech was in hiding, so Mephibosheth, his chaver, lo asa raglov, he didn't groom his makom ha'aver, lo asa raglov. It's called raglov, right? It's called raglov. And v'lo asa sfamu. He didn't groom his mustache. He didn't groom his mustache. What do you see? The word regel is above the knee. It's makom ha'aver. It's called regel. So the Gemara answers, no, lashon lishna ma'alya. We're just using a nice way of saying it. Lashon ma'alya. It doesn't mean lahalacha that a regel is called above. No, it's not true. I would use that language. Lashon naki. That's all. What else are we supposed to say that? Like meiraglayim. Meiraglayim. It's the same issue. Right? It's just a nice way of saying it. We don't want to talk foul. Next, what about Tashma? Vayavo Shol Haseches Raglov. Shol went into the cave and he went to the bathroom. Haseches Raglov. It's called Raglov. That's above the knee. Again, Lishna Ma'alya. It's a nice way of saying it. Tashma, another one. Ach Mesach Hu Raglov Becheder Hamakira. When Ehud walked into the room to kill Eglon, right? So Eglon was going to the bathroom. So it's again, it says the word raglayim, and it means above the knee. The Gemara answers lishna ma'alya, just a nice way of saying it. That's all. Last one, by Ya'el, when Ya'el was having relations with Sisra to get him dead, to kill him. So that the war against Israel should be over. It says Bein Ragleha, and that means above the knee. Again, same question. So the Gemara says no Lishna Ma'alya. Again, a nice lashon. So the Aruch Lener asks two questions. First of all, why do you need four psukim to tell me the same idea? And second of all, the psukim are not even in order. They're not even in order of Tanakh, right? Shoftim comes before Shmuel. Two are from Shmuel, and two are from Shoftim. Why is it out of order? So Aruch Lener says amazing. He says, because we're going in the order of who's the one that we're talking about a Lashon Naki. Mephibosheth was mourning the fact that David HaMelech was in hiding. He said, he was a tzaddik. So for a tzaddik, of course we're going to use a Lashon Naki. Right? We're going to mention a tzaddik, how he's doing, that Bein Ragleha, Bein Raglayim. He's a tzaddik, so we're going to use a Lashon Naki. What about Shaul? What was Shaul doing? Shaul was going to the bathroom. What kind of person was Shaul? Shaul was a Shaul, right? He started out as a tzaddik, had a little bit of a, had some issues. Even for Shaul would say it. Even for Shaul would say Lashon Naki. Eglon was a Rasha. He was a guy, he was a Rasha. Right? Even for Eglon will say it. And Sisera, not only was he a Rasha, he was doing a Maisa Veira at the moment that this happened. And will still say Lashonaki. That's why there are four, and that's why they're out of order. Because there is an order. So not the Seder HaTanach, but there is an order. Next. Now that we spoke about Ya'el, we'll talk about Ya'el for a minute. Amar of Yochanan, Sheva Be'ilos Bol Osa Rasha Bo'osa Yom. Seven times, Ya'el had Bia with Sisera that afternoon. Seven times. Why? To get him tired so she can kill him. Shenemar, Bein Ragleha, Kara Nafal, Shachav, Bein Ragleha, Kara Nafal, Basher, Kara Sham, Nafal, Shadud. Seven times over there it says that. Aye. And Ya'el's very much praised. Right? Ya'el's praised. How could Ya'el be praised? V'hakam is Hanya me'avira. She had enough from an avira. She had a relation seven times. We're praising her? So, Amar of Yochanan, Mashur Shur Ben Yechai. Yeah, we're praising her. You know why? Kol tovasan shal Rasharim, Rahi Eitzel Tzadikim. All the good of a Rasha, any good of a Rasha, is really Ra Eitzel Tzadikim. Shenemar, Hishamar Lecha, Pentadabir, and Yaakov. You know, let's stop over here. Any good is bad by a Rasha. Right? You think he's doing a favor? That's not. Ya'el didn't consider that a good thing. So Lagabi Ya'el, it was not good. I Hana, she had no Hana, she's with a Rasha. How could she be with this Rasha? Isn't there something called Har Vayavar? Right? How could she do that? She wasn't forced. She wasn't Esther. She wasn't forced.
Was she married?
Yes, she was married. She was married. She wasn't forced. She invited him in. Right? How could she do that? So the Gemara elsewhere says it was Aveira Lashma. Aveira Lashma is better than a mitzvah shalol Lashma. What's the mitzvah shalol Lashma? The mitzvah, the Gemara there gives an example, Sari Imenu. Sari Imenu didn't want to give Hagar to Avraham. She didn't want to do that. That wasn't her first choice. Listen, I'm not having any children. I've got to have something. So that was a mitzvah shalol Lashma. Right? To have some children, she didn't do it Lashma. I mean, she did Lashma, but she didn't really want that. That's a very unbelievable thing. It's very hard to bring in the enemy into your house. And Sari Imenu did that. But this is even greater. Aveira Lashma. So all the Mepharshim asked, what do you mean Aveira Lashma? We don't believe in Robin Hood. We don't believe you can rob from the rich and give to the poor. We don't believe in that. We don't believe you can do Aveira as long as there's a good toilet at the end. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was criticized not having children because La'asid he saw they're going to be Rishayim. One of them is going to be a Rasha. How to do that? You do what you got to do. Right? You do what you got to do. You don't invite foreign generals into your house. Ah, you have good intentions? We don't believe in that. So how could y'all do that? So the standard answer given is...
Why is it the same thing? She actually had a plan.
So what? She had a plan. So she's a good Jewish, nice Jewish girl.
If not having babies was like, there was still a chance.
What?
If not having kids, there was a chance.
Who him?
Who were you saying that?
Chizkiyahu.
Because Chizkiyahu didn't have kids.
Why didn't he have kids? Because he made a cheshbon. He saw a nevuah that they're going to be Rishayim. You know what? I'm not going to do the mitzvah of Pur Revu. Because it's going
to
end up being a mistake.
You have the hashpah to change that. She said he's a Rasha.
Yeah.
Someone's got to kill him. I'm going to figure out the way to kill him.
So she kills him by doing an Aveira. So who told you? Where's the hetzer for that? Don't hetzer for that. What? Talk about Yavra. Don't hetzer for that. So the standard answer given is, which could possibly also help out with Esther, because even right when Esther said to Achashveir, Mordechai, Kasher Avadati Avadati, if I go to him willingly, then I can't go back to my husband. Because I went willingly. If I'm being forced, I have no choice. Right? Achashveir should have no choice. But if I go willingly, then it's over. Because I'm going willingly. So the Maharik answers, Was it the Maharik? Yeah. The Maharik answers, that's all true. We don't believe in this. You can't steal from the rich and give to the poor. You can't not have children because you... All true. There's one exception. The exception is when the entire Klal Yisrael is on the line. The whole Klal Yisrael is on the line, then you can do it. That's why she was able to invite him into the tent. The whole Klal Yisrael is on the line. It's not just one person. It's the whole Klal Yisrael, then you have a heter. It's a very rare heter. It's a very rare heter. Yeah?
But in this respect, in this specific case,
yeah,
his army was defeated.
What? I don't know if she knew that. That the army was defeated.
No, he was running away. He was
No, I don't know if he was running away or he was having a victory.
No. Well, it says,
I'm not so sure about that. At the moment when she invited him in, I'm not so sure the war was over yet. That it was over? So maybe she might not have known that. She thought in her mind, listen, there's no other way I've got to save Klai Yisrael. The whole Klai Yisrael, you have such a heter. Unbelievable tshuva. I saw in the back over here for the Kleisenberger Rebbe that, so would that apply for Avodah Zarah also? So for Arayas, we say, okay, you can do such a thing. For the whole Klai Yisrael. What about for Avodah Zarah? Could we only Avodah Zarah to save the whole Klai Yisrael? So he says there was a story that when Shabtai Tzvi became a Muslim, right, the siman that you became a Muslim was you took off whatever you were wearing on your head and you put on a turban. The act of putting on the turban was demonstrating that you are now a Muslim. So what happened was this guy wanted to. I'm not so sure the details of the Shaila. On the Kleisenberger Rebbe lives in the 1940s, he's 50s after the war. He's writing about what happened in the 1600s, but he writes that there was a guy who a firm person, an Erlacha person, one of the Gedolim, who did that. He took off his yarmulke and he put on a turban just to get to the Sultan so he could tell the Sultan how Shabtai Tzvi is a fraud. And he felt, how can I do that? Putting on a turban, I'm giving the appearance of being over to Avodah Zarah. Maybe even there's a huge, the question is, it's not Avodah Zarah, right. But it's the same idea. And just to get to the Sultan, why? Because to save Klal Yisrael. Or a large chunk of Klal Yisrael. Because who knew what Shabtai Tzvi would do? Who knew what he would do? The guy was crazy. So he's buddy-buddy now with the Sultan. He'll tell him anything. So this Gadol put on, I don't know who the Gadol is. He didn't say who it is. He put on the turban, got close to the Sultan to expose Shabtai Tzvi. So he was trying to say, would that work for Avodah Zarah? Could you do that? If you could get into the church to save Klal Yisrael, is that mutter? It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. Okay, we got getting off the topic and we can't end late today. Next. How do you know that anything a tzaddik says good is really bad? Shenemar. Lavan, you're going to go see Yaakov tomorrow. Don't speak to him good or bad. Don't say a word to Yaakov good or bad. I understand. Don't speak bad. Don't distress Yaakov. Elotov, am I low? Why can't love and say good to him? El shmamina tovasa chavashar rohi etel tzadikim. Because anything they say good is really, really bad. Bishlom b'chasam by love, and I understand that what was the bad? Bishlo the dilma mitkalashme davoris kachazim. We don't want Yaakov love and mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah on Yaakov's behalf. That's the bad. Ella hacha myra ikka. What was the bad by Yael? What was the bad? She was doing it Latova. So how'd bad come out of this? You know what the bad was? It's unbelievable that this is like mamish Kabbalah, and it's right here in the Gemara. The kashadi bazuhama. Somehow he instilled in her some kind of tumah. Why? Tamar of Yochanan b'shash in a banachash alchava. When the nachash, what does ba'al chava mean? Had relations with Chava, or just seduced Chava into eating? What does this line mean? You look at the psukim. There's no relation between the Nachash and Chava. It's mashma that's what happened, right? Because when it said right here, Shenachash Baal Chava. When the Nachash came to Chava, it doesn't mean and started schmoozing with her. It means more than that. Hitil Bazuhama. He somehow instilled in her some kind of tumah. And Yisrael shamed al Harsinai paska zuhamasan. When Bnei Yisrael stood at Harsinai, their zuhama went away. And the Mefarshim point out any ger, any person that will ever become a ger, they were also there. So the zuhama is also gone. But of the kachavim goyim shlomed al Harsinai, they were never at Harsinai lo paska zuhamasan. The zuhama never went away. So Sisra, the zuhama never went away. Now that Yael got that. It was all the shma, it was all the tova. That's the Ra that came out of it. Some of the Farshim ask, so Hashem told Lavan, don't touch Yaakov, don't hurt him, and don't even mention the name of Avodah Zarah. Don't even say good or bad. Don't even say good to him. Don't even say good morning. Because that's going to lead to you mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah. Rashi says on top, Ra, what's the Ra? Shesonim harishoyim, because you hate Rishayim, v'katza nefesh tzadik b'hana asan. Right? Hilkach lav hanohi. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's because we don't want to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. So some the Mefarshim, what's Rashi adding here? So Mefarshim explains both issues. Even if he wouldn't mention the name of Avodah Zarah, still anything a Rasha ever says to you only turns out bad. Somehow it always ends up being bad. Why? That's the nature of a Rasha. So, but if you look at the pasuk says Vayomer Lavan El Yaakov. Where is it? No. Lavan's talking to Yaakov at the end of the parsha of Vayeti. Elokei Avraham, which Rashi says is Lashon Kodesh. The Elohei Nachar, Lashon Chol. So Lavan anyway mentioned the name of the idols. He didn't even listen to Hashem. Right? So if he didn't listen to Hashem, so why didn't he hurt Yaakov already? So some say no. Since he mentioned Elokei Avraham, then he had a heter to mention the name of the Avodah Zarah. He listened to Hashem. He didn't touch Yaakov. He didn't mention the name of the idols alone. He mentioned it along with Hashem. That was acceptable. Lavan made such a heter for himself. Okay, next. Where are we? By the two dots. Chalta v'mil she'en v'shalo. Tan Rabbanan, nalo, you have to use a shoe. Ein li ela nalo. Nal shal kol d'minayin. How do you know it doesn't have to belong to you? Tamad lomar, nal mikol makom. Tim kain, ma tamad lomar, nalo. So if it can be anybody, why does it say nalo, which is mashma yours? No, it means nalo haru'uyalo. It's got to fit you. Prat legodol she'en yolach lohalek, but it's too big. Or prat lekota she'en choper over agla. It's too small. Uprat l'sandal hamisulayim she'en bo ekev. Or it has a hole in it. Doesn't have a soul. That's what we mean. Does it have to be yours? No, it could belong to anybody else. Abaya havekoi kamed Rav Yosef. Abaya was once by Rav Yosef. I saw Yivam alichla. So they walked in to have chalitza. So amalei. So Abaya. So Rav Yosef said to Abaya, "Have li sandalach. Give me your sandal, Abaya. We got to do chalitza now." So yav le sandal de smola. He gave Rav Yosef his left sandal, which the Mishnah said is good b'di'evet. So why did Abaya do that? So the Gemara says amalei. Ema the Amar Rabbanan diavad the chachila mi Amar Abaya. The Mishnah said that b'di'evet that's good. The chachila, why'd you give me a left one? You stand there right here. Give me the right one. So amalei ihachi. If that's true, sandos she'en shlo nami. So same thing about using someone else's. Ema the Amar Rabbanan b'di'evet. That's only b'di'evet. The chachila mi Amar. The chachila, we never did it. So Abaya gave the wrong shoe on purpose to jog Rabbi Yosef's memory. Hey, Rabbi Yosef, you can't use the left. You also shouldn't use somebody else's lechachila. But do you have it? Fine. So why are you running to me? Go, make him go buy one. So Amalei Nahari Kaminolach. That's what I meant, Abaya. You have love, Eknilel. He's going to buy it from you. So it's going to be his. That's what I meant. I meant that all along. Okay, next. Sandal Shal Eitz. Mantana, who said you can use a Sandal Shal Eitz? Amar Shmuel Remeir. He did not. Hakita Yotze Bekav Shalo. That Remeir said you're allowed to go out with a stump on Shabbos because it's part of your body. Divrei Remeir, Rabbi Yosi, Oser. Avuah de Shmuel Amar b'mechupa or v'divrei Hakol. No, or it could be that it's leather. It's leather covered, and then everyone can hold like that because it's leather. Everyone holds from leather. Next, Amar of Papi Mishmei Derava. Okay. 2 seconds of introduction. If anything is a possibility that it has tzaraas on it, whether it's a kli or a person, it gets locked up for 7 days. That's called muzgar. At the end of the 7 days, we check it out. Did the tzaraas spread or not? If it spread, then it's called a mukhlat. It's a vadai. If not, then not. So, can you use a sandal for chalitza that has tzaraas on it? That's what we're talking about.
But it
would
have to be on his foot.
What? So he'll put it on his foot. He doesn't have tzaraas. Only the sandal has tzaraas. So, Amar of Papi Mishmei Derava, sandal hamotzgar, lo tichlot bo. Don't do it. But v'yim chalitza, chalitza tzakshevu. It's good. But sandal hamuchlat, but if it's already muchlat, and what's going to happen to a sandal that's muchlat? It's confirmed to have tzaraas. It's going to be destroyed. So if it's going to be destroyed, it's viewed as if it's already destroyed. Therefore, it doesn't have the shear. It's not a shoe. It's already destroyed. Right? Kala omeid le tzreifa. Kisreifa dummy. It's going to be destroyed. It's as if it's already destroyed. Lo tichl, sandal mochlat, lo tichlot zbo. Again, don't use it. V'yem chalza, chalza psula. That's going to be possible. Rapapa Mishpin to Rava Omar. No, Echatan al Moskri, Echatan al Mochlat, Lotichlat's bow, Vim Chalta, Chalitaso, Ksheira. It's kosher. Why? Because it doesn't hold from that principle. Yeah, it's going to be destroyed next week when we get around to it. But right now, it's a shoe right here. So you can use it. Meisvei. Wait a minute. Beis HaMuzgor, Metama Misocho. If a Beis HaMuzgor, now the house, we're not sure if the house has Tsaras. Right? What if, so we lock the house up for 7 days. Now what if, Beis HaMuzgor, Metama Misocho. If I walk into the house, and I don't walk fully in, I take my hand and I touch the wall on the inside. Right? Flick on the lights. I walk in, I just put my hand in, I flick on the lights. I become tummy. Why? Because I slip my hand into this house, which is possibly tummy. Muchlat, if it's confirmed, then mitocho umeachorv. Even the back of the house, outside, the backyard. You touch the back wall, that's also going to be tummy. Umeachorv, right. Vizevizem tam bia. But both of them will make you tummy if you enter the house. For sure, if you enter. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, but if it's going to be destroyed, right? It's never going to be a house. It's not a house. Why? Because it's only to be destroyed. If it's only to be destroyed, it's already considered to be destroyed. It doesn't have the shear of a house. Right? So Rabbi Chanan asked, and this din never applies. This din never applies. Right? If it's never a house, it never applies. So Chanan answers, no, the din was only said by Muzgur, not by Muchlat. We make Gzeirah Shavah. Okay. So the Gemara answers, no, shiny hustle. The Amar Krav, Nasas et Habayis. The Torah says, destroy the house. Meaning the Torah is calling it a house. Afilu b'shas tzitzah kari bayis. Even at the time of the destruction, it's called a house. Tashma, matlis, if you have a little rig, sheyesh bo shalosh al shalosh, it has 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, which is the minimum shear for a baguette because an ani will use it. Afal pi sheyesh bo kezayis, even though it doesn't have a kezayis, kivan shenichnas ruba labayis, tahar, tumaso, even though it doesn't have a kezayis, doesn't have the shear of a kezayis, meaning it's very thin, but it still has the shear in terms of dimensions, once that goes into the house, it'll after the whole entire house. We didn't ohel. My lav b'muchlat, b'muchlates, doesn't that mean it's a house of muchlat? So we said, lo, b'muzgeres, it's a house of mizgeres, it's only potentially. Ihachi ema seifa. What about the seifa? Hayu ba kama kezesim. If you have a very, very thick cloth, it's very heavy, it weighs a lot of kezesim. Kivan shenichlans mimenu kezayis, labayis, tohar, tumaso. It'll be metame the whole house. I amar peshlamu muchlates. That makes sense if it's muchlat. Hainu itzkash lemeis. That's why it's compared to a mace. Just like a muchlat has a din of a mace in terms of tumah, so a kezayis is relevant because a kezayis of a mace is metame. But I amar misgeres. But if it's only possibly tame, what does a kezayis have to do with this? What, it's nothing to do with mace. What's a kezayis thrown in here? Amar itzkash lemeis. So Gemara says again, Shiny Hasad, Damakov is Sarf as a beged, Afilu Bashasas Reifa, Kari beged. So Veligmar Mine, let's learn from here the din of Tuma and Chalitza. So Gemara says, no, Isser Tuma Logam, Isser mi Tuma Logam Rinan. We don't learn Isser from Tuma. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we'll continue the new Mishnah tomorrow, and then the day after tomorrow is unbelievable stuff. Amazing stuff coming up. Have a good day. Good Chodesh.
Yeah.